reading to you from Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearing of God. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. I want you to completely, really, please pray for us, pray for our health, and pray that God will continue to give us souls for our hire, because that's what I like to do. There's nothing else that thrills me anymore than to tell a lost man or woman or boy or girl about Jesus. Well, I want you to kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee or lemonade. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 15th chapter of Genesis, and let's begin reading with the first verse. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am the shield, and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what will that thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house, and this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, Behold to me, thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, for he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall the seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. We've labeled this message, No Faith, No Future. The call of Abraham was being accompanied by promises. And over in Genesis 12:1 it says, Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thine country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and into a land that I will show thee. Before we go any further, let's stop. Father, I'm having really throat problems, and it must upset my listeners as well as it upsets me. I pray, Father, for a healing on my throat so that I'll be able to speak clear and won't be continually clearing my throat. Lord, I pray for all those who listen tonight that you will bless them from the head of their head to their toes. And Lord, we'll be careful, so careful to give you the praise, the glory and honor for it in Jesus' precious name. Well, now, Abraham had a promise of a new land, and he was promised that he would have many descendants and be a blessing. Verse 2. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house, and this Eliezer of Damascus? Well, he was promised protection from enemies from for him and his family. Verse 3, and Abraham said, behold to me, thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine forever. Well, listen, friend. Abram stepped out on faith on God's promises. Boy, howdy, I wished ever Pastor America would listen to this. They stepped out on faith. Now, I've been to churches where they want you to pledge that you'll give so much. That's not faith. That's not faith at all. They want to see where they're going. When we walk by faith, my dear friends, and that's, I've had to do that practically all my ministry, it's exciting. Because you remember when Paul got a call from over Macedonia? Did he have to go to a mission board and say, hey, I've got a little trip here, I need to make my plans? The Bible said immediately he got on that ship and took off to help those people. That's faith. A lot of Christians have never learned that lesson. Well, Abraham stepped out in faith on God's promises, and he departed and began his great adventure of faith. I'm going to ask you, have you begun the life of faith by taking Christ as your Savior? You got to have that first. Before you can do anything, you have to have Jesus as your Savior. And have you entrusted your future to Him? Now, the future belongs to those who place their faith in Jesus. Now, note how faith affects our family. Verse 1 and 3. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham and in a vision, and saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house in this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is not even my heir. Oh, brother. Well, Abraham was to leave for Canaan with his family. He was to be a blessing to all families in the earth. God is interested in our families. Friends, let me tell you something that's kind of important. It's very important. Years ago, I was preaching a revival up in Mount Baker, Burlington, Washington. And there was a lot of people there from North Carolina. In fact, it was all North Carolina people. And this alcoholic who'd been converted came to me one time and said, Brother Mo, I've got a brother that lives down in North Carolina, and he's lost. I would love to have you and your family go down there and see if you could reach him for Christ. Now, that's what the man said. I told my wife, I said, let's get ready and let's go to North Carolina. Friends, I'm telling you the truth. We had $30 in our pockets. $30 is all the money we had in the world. We decided to go to North Carolina. I put my tool bag in the back of my van because I knew I was going to have to make a roof or two like Paul made a tent. And we started off to North Carolina. We got in Boise, Idaho, where I had spoke at a mission conference one time. And the people said, they had us out for dinner when we were there years ago. Said, would you like to come through here again? Be sure and stop and look us up. So we stopped at this place, and they had us for lunch, and we had a nice visit. I never told those people one thing about our finances. As far as they knew, we wouldn't be going to North Carolina if we didn't have money, would we? We got ready to leave, and this man come up, and he pressed a check for $100 in my hand. All right. Before we left Linden, Washington, a man who was reasonably well-to-do, had a big dairy. He said, Brother Mo, I'm sure you're going to be short of money. You know, the Lord told me something in a dream. That if you would tell me how much money I'm supposed to give you, I'll give you a check right now. And I said, I don't play that game. No, I don't play that game. He said, well, if you tell me, I'll get you the money. And I wouldn't do it. But he said this is what he said. He said, now, Cecil, if you get down there and you run out of money, I'll tell you what you do. You call me, and if you tell me exactly how much money that the Lord wanted me to give you, I'll send you money, wire it to you. I said, okay. Now, we get down there quite a ways, and we run out of money. I got on the phone, and I called this man, told him. Oh, he said, how you doing, Cecil? I said, oh, we're headed for North Carolina, as you said. he said, well, let me ask you, do you know how much money I'm supposed to give you? I said, yes, $300. There was a silence at the end of the line, to say the least. He said, where do I wire it? And he wired me $300. Now you say, well, that wasn't faith. Well, yeah, it was. He told me to do it, and I called him, and he supplied our needs. Friends, it is a joy to believe God. You say we believe him. Do you really believe him? Do you believe that he'll supply your needs if you go and do something for him? Well, he certainly will. If you're doing what God wants you to do, he said, my God shall supply all your needs through Christ Jesus in glory. I could tell you some stories that make your hair stand on end that God has done for us that I just marvel. I just can't believe what he's done for us. And dear friends, he's no respecter of persons. He'll do that for you. You say, well, Cecil, I need a new job. Well, have you asked him for it? Have you talked to him about it? He wants to know all your business. He wants you to ask him. You have not because you ask not. See, Noah and his family were called under the safety of the ark. 7th chapter, the first verse. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house under the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. God was so sorry at that time that he had made the earth and things in it because sin was prevalent. And so God looked around and he found one righteous man that he could trust. His name was Noah, two sons, their wives and his wife. And he told him what he wanted him to do, and he said he was going to destroy the earth by a flood. Well, I cannot envision what must have went through that man's telling him, how do you build an ark without a chainsaw, without anything? How do you do that? Well, they sure enough did it. They sure enough did. Well, anyway, they started working on that ark. And then he'd go out and he'd preach at night. He'd tell those people, you know, you better get right with God. And they'd say, why? Well, because God's going to destroy this earth with a great flood. What was a flood? They didn't know what a flood was. They didn't know what rain was. They'd never seen it before. And out there in that crazy old wicked desert, him and his son started building this ark. 100 years they worked at it. And he preached every night. Oh, my dear friends. They laughed at him. They said the heat had got him. And they went to the religious leaders that we have today. We've got religious leaders. Friends, and I don't want to act like I'm smarter than they, But you remember the Muslims? If you read the book of Quran, you will find out the Muslims hate you and I. They hate the Jews. Their job is to kill infidels and Jews. Go to heaven and 17 or 14 virgins waiting for them. There's no marriage in heaven. But that's what they teach. And so that's the ones that we're telling these guys, don't pay attention to Noah. He's crazy. But the day came, 100 years later, when the rain started coming, and God said, Noah, go ahead now, load up the ark, 2 by 2. Man alive, now the water's up to their ankles, their knees, and they got scared. They said, went back to the religious leaders, said, are you sure? Are you positive? Nah, we're positive. Well, anyhow. And then the Bible said, and this is a part that really, really makes you sad. And it said, God closed the door. Beloved, is God going to close the door on your salvation tonight? See, Jesus is our ark of safety tonight. He tells us if we repent of our sins, turn from it, come to him as a little child, he will give us eternal life. Now, the Philippian jailer was offered salvation for him and his family in Acts 16:31. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what he said. And boy, that jailer fell to his knees. And then he cleaned up all the things that was the wounds that he'd inflicted on Paul and Silas. He said, would you go with me to my home and tell my family about Jesus? That was the evidence that that jailer had a born-again experience. And they went out and preached Jesus, and those people got saved. And even at midnight, they baptized him. That's the truth. You say, oh, then baptism is important for salvation. Not a bit. All it's good for is, first of all, it's the death, burial, resurrection. And we do it in obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior. Friends, Jesus was baptized. Was he lost? No, he was the Son of God. He did it to fulfill all righteousness according to the Scriptures. Well, Abraham struggled with unbelief over not having a family. Listen to 15:3. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given me no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. He couldn't quite grasp it. Well, listen. God promised him a seed, and Paul said this blessed seed was Christ. Yes, indeed, he sure did. Well, Galatians 3:16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. Well, listen, friends. Oh, my, I love this lemonade. I wished everybody in the world would drink lemonade. It's such a good drink. Well, our faith in Christ should be examples to our families. They're the hardest ones to reach. I've told you many times how I struggled for 28 years and 26 years for my younger brother and 28 for my older brother. But they finally found Jesus. Had the privilege of leading my oldest brother to Christ, which, beside my salvation experience, was one of the greatest victories I ever saw in my life. Well, note how faith affects our futures, verse 4 and 5. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said to them, so shall thy seed be. Those of us who were in the service, World War II at least. And I know Bill Elton listening tonight, I know he was there. I never saw so many stars in my life as in the South Pacific. I used to lay out on a deck at night and look up in the, and I was lost. Oh, my dear friends, I was so lost. Didn't know Jesus. Well, Abraham did struggle with unbelief. Our faith in Christ should be examples, like I say, to our family. Note how faith affects our future, verse 5. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thou, this shall be thine heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said to them, so shall thy seed be my stars. What if Abraham had not dared embark on his adventures of faith? There would have been no promised blessing for him and his family. Well, he would have missed out on life's greatest adventure, and that's what you're missing out tonight. If you've never decided that you want to witness or do personal evangelism, I will guarantee you're missing out on the greatest adventure. Soul winning is the greatest adventure God gives us. It's the greatest joy after your own salvation experience. Winning souls is the greatest of all great. And friends, I try to surround myself with men and women who are soul winners because I know the joy that we have. Now, faith assured his future. He would be led to the promised land and he would have descendants who would be a blessing. His name would be great and remembered, and it is. Consider the scope of these blessings. He would have a son in his old age. His descendants would be as a number of stars. Oh, my. Note, faith affects our fellowship with God in verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. He would have a son in his old age, and his descendants would be as a number of stars. Note how faith affects our fellowship with God. Faith brought Abraham into a right relationship with God. He believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. You remember in the Garden of Eden, when our great-great-great-grandmother Eve, they were told everything that they could have in that garden was theirs, with the exception of one tree. They were to leave that tree alone, because if you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die. Well, Eve was out walking through the park one day, and she saw this beautiful tree. Well, now, friends, sin always looks good to the eye, and it looks so good to her. So she went over there and was looking at it, and all of a sudden, the old slewfoot, the serpent, the devil, came down and he said, why don't you take a bite of this fruit? It's good for you. You'd like it. Oh, no, I can't do that because God told, if I did, I'd surely die. Oh, he said, God was just kidding with you. I'm paraphrasing. If you eat of that fruit, you're going to be as smart is God. Well, that did. See, what the devil got her to do was to doubt the Lord. Anytime, beloved, you doubt the Bible, you are in bad shape. Now, there are people who say, there is no God. I have never found any place in the Bible says that I have to prove that God is real. I know he's real because he lives in my heart. And I've seen him do things in my life that could never have been done. They were extraordinary things. You say God doesn't do miracles today? Oh, you're dingy. He certainly does. Oh, I tell you, I've experienced many, and those of you who know Jesus have to say amen, say so. I have experienced many miracles in my life. Now, he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, Abraham, a sinner, was justified before by God by faith. Justification means as if you have never sinned. Oh, I love that word, to be justified. Now, what good news this is for you and me. According to the Bible, we are all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says, sure enough. Well, Christ died to save sinners. That's what the Bible said. Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearing of God. Oh, I love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved you and me. It's so hard for me to understand that. Oh, it's so hard for me to understand why God would love me. Like Abraham, we're justified by faith. Justified by faith. Look, Romans 4:15. What shall we say that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it has been counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Justification, as if you have never, never, never sinned. Oh, my friends, aren't you glad we aren't living under the law? Aren't you glad we're not living back in the Old Testament times? Let me ask you, friends, this is personal. Are you an example of faith to your family? Or are you negative? Lots of times I've been caught being negative. Now, that's not right. I'm not a namer or claimer, but I believe what God said. And if he said it, that settles it, and believe it, and let's go on. Does faith make you confident about your future? Or do you think you're just on the bottom rung all the time? Do you have fellowship with God through faith in Christ? Well, if you're not, beloved, you're missing out something. I'm asking you tonight to search your heart. Do you know that if you're going to go to heaven if you die? Now, only you and you alone can answer that. No. Your preacher can't answer that. Your mama can't answer it. Your daddy can't answer it. That can only be answered by you. Are you going to heaven when you die? Now, the scripture tells me in 1 John 5:13, this is written that ye may know that you have passed from death unto life. No, I think I'm going to heaven. Well, I sure hope so. No, this is written that you may know. If you don't know, beloved, you're lost. You're doomed and damned. You say, but Cecil, my preacher told me if I got baptized as a little baby, and if we belonged to the only true church, I was going to go to heaven. But that's not true. If you have not been born again, you're lost. Jesus said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. We have the flesh, birth, that's not enough. You got to be born from above, which is by repenting of our sin, asking the Lord to come in our heart and save us. Now, when he saves us, he takes out the heart of stone and gives it a heart of flesh, and then we can understand. And by the way, for those who have a different belief, they'll tell you you have to agonize and beg for the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, the Bible said the Spirit of God comes in your heart. And he will give you the assurance that you've been born again. Perfect love casts out all fear. Friends, I'm begging you tonight, if you're not sure, and maybe you're just backslidden and you thought you'd lost your salvation. You don't lose your salvation by backsliding. In fact, the Old Testament said, "Woe unto you backsliders, for I am married unto you." That's what the book says. You don't lose your salvation, but I'll guarantee you, you lose your joy. And don't want to lose your joy. You know, in Revelation, he said, the trouble is you guys have left your first love. Oh, America needs to come back to God so that he can forgive our sins in our land and begin. The Bible said the nation that forgets God shall surely perish. They've taken prayer out of our school. They're trying to build mosques all over New York and other places. Did you know what a Muslim said the other day? Someday the Muslim flag will fly over the capital of the United States. He's full of beans. Oh, pray that God...